Welcome back, everybody, to the Fantasy Hockey Axe podcast. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. Joining me, as always, Bruce Gunther, my only co-host this evening.
Good evening, everybody.
John Enns is not feeling well, and it was actually Tyler's birthday. So again, Tyler, shout out to you. Happy birthday, bud. But anyway, we're down to two hosts tonight. So Bruce, we're going OG. This is good.
This is
interesting. Yeah. When's the last time just you and I were on a pod? It's been 25 episodes,
probably. Something like that. First couple episodes, I think that's been last time.
Yeah, things look a little bit different. We have quite a few more listeners between now and then. So
definitely. That's awesome,
too. Good stuff. Yeah, so tonight we're doing our final divisional preview. We're doing the Atlantic Division Fantasy Hockey Preview featuring Michael Amato from GoaliePost.com of the Dauber Sports Network. So we're really excited to have him on. We've recorded the interview already, so we're looking forward to that one. Should be interesting for our listeners out there. He had a lot of good things to say about some different teams and some good insight, right, Bruce, on
definitely
goaltending and just the teams in general.
You bet.
Okay, so we're at, you know, as we typically do, we're going to start things off here with the hockey news. So we'll jump into that first, and then we'll go through a couple other housekeeping items and get into the interview. So first up here, Jonathan Drouin had two assists in a 5-2 preseason win over the Leafs on the 27th. That was his first game back since taking a leave of absence. You have to like that, hey, Bruce? I mean, the guy took a mental break, a leave, whatever you want to call it, for himself. That's good for him. And then he came back with two assists, and by all accounts, he's looked pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't see any of it, but from what it sounded like, he gelled really well, right, with Dvorak and with Josh Anderson. So yeah. Anderson had a good season last year. Dvorak's going to be more offensive this year than last year. You're playing in Arizona.
Arizona.
Where yeah. He was constantly getting beaten into submission. So I know that line had some great chemistry during that game. They put up a ton of points during that game. So
yep.
That's it looks good for them,
to be exact.
Yikes. But no, it's good. I'm glad to see Drouin back playing again. So always been a fan
for of sure. his. Yeah, well, and Christian Dvorak, again, one of those guys in the desert who hopefully with some more opportunity in a good team like Montreal or a decent team anyway should do fine. And then Josh Anderson doing Josh Anderson things, scoring goals. So,
well, I don't think Dvorak has had two as talented line mates as Drouin and Anderson. So,
yeah
it's it's a very small sample size. It's one game. But, hey, if they're able to continue to do something like that through the season, that'll help Montreal in a big way.
Yeah, definitely. Again, we don't take too much stock in this because it is preseason, but all positive signs anyway. Yep. Oliver Ekman-Larsson had two assists, and Connor Garland scored for the Vancouver Canucks in a 4-2 win over the Calgary Flames. So, you know, new faces, new places. That's always good to see. They're putting up some numbers to start, even if it is preseason.
Yep, definitely.
I like both those players for different reasons, but good to see them doing some positive things offensively. And then Pavel Buchnevich scored a goal and had an assist in his debut with the St. Louis Blues. They beat the Stars 2-1 in overtime. So again, another new player to a new team, putting up points early in preseason. That you always like to see that.
Oh, definitely. Because if they don't put up points in the preseason, you're gonna right? So
time to panic.
Get a couple of goals and get some points under their belt and get them comfortable with the team. Get some confidence heading into the season. That's what you want.
Yeah, for sure. And then good to see, too, was Braden Holtby stopped 15 of 16 shots in his debut with the Stars.
Yeah, no, that's good. That goaltending situation in Dallas is going to be interesting. So Holtby can get in and get some good couple of quality starts before the season gets in, have some confidence moving forward. So should be another good team in Dallas this year, too.
Yeah, I don't anticipate Holtby getting drafted much. You know, in fantasy hockey, but he's definitely a guy you might want to keep an eye on through the first few weeks of the season, just to see, you know, how he's utilized, how he performs. The Dallas Stars are still a very good club, right? So even if he's splitting time with Khudobin or whoever, could have some value in deeper leagues.
Khudobin will probably get the majority of the starts going forward. And then, almost like a two-third, one-third type thing. And then depending on how it goes, if either of them don't turn out being that great, well, then it could be more of a 50-50 split. And if they both don't do well, then one of them is going to be sitting in the press box and Ottinger is going to be playing in net. So,
yeah. Well, and don't forget too, that you know, Anton Khudobin is an older goaltender, so there's always a chance he may be more susceptible to injury. And
yeah,
if that's the case, then yeah, you're looking at a Holtby Ottinger tandem most likely. So
yeah, because they already have one goalie on IR.
They sure do, and we have no idea when Ben Bishop's coming back. So
not a clue.
Anyway, okay. September 28th, Austin Matthews participated in his first practice with the Leafs. The forward underwent wrist surgery on August 13th and was expected to miss 6 weeks. Good to see him skating again. I don't think it's really affected his draft value.
No, I one would way be, or the other. I would say not. It's even if he missed the first two games, it's still not going to affect his draft value because he'll have no trouble making up the points in a hurry once he's out there.
I think he's going to be close to 60 goals this year. If he can stay healthy throughout the season.
Well, I hope they can score goals because I have questions about their goaltending. So I hope they can put points up because they may need to have because they may have a couple of Grant Fuhrers in back there. So
yeah, I've got his over under the line set at 56 goals and 98 points for Austin Matthews.
Yeah, I can definitely see him doing that. Like I said, they may need every last one of them.
For sure. The New Jersey Devils goaltender, Mackenzie Blackwood, he was the team's lone unvaccinated player, and he will not be able to play games in Canada. Unfortunate bit of news there. I think, you know, Mackenzie Blackwood was sort of a dark horse pick as far as goaltenders go. I think, you know, some people are a little bit higher on the Devils than we were last year, for sure. I mean, how many games he has in Canada, I didn't actually check to see. It may not be as severe as someone like Josh Archibald, who would have missed 30 games roughly, right?
And Blackwood said himself, it's not that he's not anti-vaccination. He's got some issues himself that he wants to get cleared up with the Devils before he takes it. So he said he's definitely not, he's not anti-taking it, but he wants to get a couple of his own medical issues checked out first before, just to make sure that he's good to go for that. So we could very well see him at the early part of the season here, get that cleared up and be vaccinated and ready to go. And then it's full speed ahead for him. So that's definitely something to watch if you're picking him up in the later rounds though.
And he's got Bernier there too. So, I mean, if you're looking at an alternate option with the Devils, Jonathan Bernier played very well with Detroit.
Yes.
Last season.
Did very well in front of, or in behind of it. Terrible team. So,
yeah, so he could be a valuable waiver wire add at some point during the season there. Jesperi Kotkaniemi scored a goal and an assist in his debut with the Carolina Hurricanes. Good to see there. I mean, as a winger, I think he's looked pretty good. Hey, Bruce.
Yeah, I kind of tend to really, oh boy, their English went out the window there for a second. I think, yeah, so they're playing him. I think on the third line, second or third line, I think is where I saw. So they had him slotted in. So playing on the wing, a lot less stress. He's not in Montreal, so he's, I think we could see some very big things from him this season. I said his point totals and stuff like that. I think he's free, right? So it wasn't, I don't think it'll ever come out whether he was too happy with the way Montreal used him down there, where Carolina is not going to be afraid to use him here. So they're going to turn him loose. And I think he's going to have a good season.
I'm just checking his ADP. So he's actually dual eligible still, center left wing. And his ADP is 167.8. So you can get him in the 14th round and he's only 3% drafted.
I think he could be one of those guys that you'll want to pick up in the later rounds. I think he's got points already and he's not going to be playing first line minutes or expected first line minutes. So he's going to have some talented line mates there. They've got three lines that can score. So it's, yeah.
This is interesting to me, Bruce. I'm just checking the draft boards for Yahoo.
Yeah.
He's going ahead of guys like Mike Hoffman, Joel Farabee. He was going ahead of Verona. I mean, Verona's value's dropped, obviously, since his injury news. He's going ahead of Sharon Govich, Blake Coleman, Bjorkstrand, Connor Garland, Victor Arvidsson.
Really?
He's going ahead of a lot of guys like that. So, yeah, again, we've talked about zero draft a lot, and I think that it rings true, man. There's a lot of value late in your drafts for forwards. So, anyway, we won't get too tied up in that, but good to see he's kind of fitting in Carolina. And then Frederick Anderson made 36 saves in his debut, a 3-1 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning. I know you're not huge on, you know, Freddie for next year, Bruce, but he's playing on a good team in Carolina. I think they're better defensively. Their structure is better defensively than the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I realize I kind of, as a Leaf goalie, I kind of beat the crap out of him, but yeah, in Carolina, they're playing he's playing behind now a much more structured team. So again, as long as he can stay healthy, he could end up having a very good season with this team.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. All right. Artemi Panarin had a goal and two assists in his preseason debut against the Bruins, a 3-2 victory for the Rangers. That's just Panarin doing Panarin things. No surprise there.
Pretty much. There's no surprise there.
Excuse me. It is a bit of a surprise, though, was Noah Dobson had a goal and two assists as the Islanders beat the Flyers 3-2. Good to see him have some offensive punch to his game.
I had him for a little while last year during latter part of last season. I picked him up. I needed a defenseman. He didn't score a ton of points or anything, but it's good to see because they need someone to quarterback their power play there on the island. So Pulock doesn't seem to want it, and if Dobson can get some points going here, if he can solidify himself on there, he should do well. He's going to have some nice people working up front there with Palmieri and Barzal. And
yep. Yep, definitely. They got some options there on the power play. I was excited watching some of the highlights of this Oilers game the other night, but McDavid, Hyman, and Puljujarvi, they looked incredible as they beat the Kraken 6-0. That top line combined for 7 points. And did you see that goal, that tic-tac-toe play?
No, I didn't see any of the highlights, actually.
Oh, man. So
I just saw the two starting lineups and looked like, okay, so it's the Oilers are pretty much rostering their regular season team. And the Kraken has got, I don't know, what was there, three people that might make the roster on that team. So it was going to get ugly real fast.
And yeah, it did. But Puljujärvi just picked the puck up along the wall and he just backhand sauce passed it right to McDavid. McDavid just did what he does. And then he made a nice pass kind of backdoor right to Hyman, and Hyman just tapped it in. So
I saw
someone
off topic, but I saw Draisaitl's to RNH's last night.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That was beautiful. So of course I ran the poll. It should still be visible tomorrow when people are listening to this. You know, is Draisaitl the best passer in the league or other? So go to Instagram if you want to vote on that poll. Last I checked, it was 60-40. No surprise, our co-host John Enns voted other because he's not a Draisaitl fan. So John, as you're listening to this, hopefully at some point we're disappointed in your decision, but yeah, it's fine.
I'm pretty sure on that play, the only one that wasn't surprised that Draisaitl made that pass was RNH. Because he was ready for it, and none of the Flames players knew where it was going.
He knew. And actually, did you hear Dave Tippett after? He was kind of ripping Draisaitl for that pass.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, he basically said, you know, the problem is he makes that pass in the playoffs, and
it's gone.
Oftentimes it doesn't go to our guys. It goes the other way, and it's, you know, it's a problem. And so he's kind of being a Debbie Downer, but I guess a fair point, given that they haven't had a ton of playoff success.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we covered this already, but Detroit Red Wings head coach Jeff Blashill told reporters that Jacob Virana will require shoulder surgery. He's going to be out 4 months. So a big hit here for the Detroit Red Wings. He's a guy that he was kind of a breakout candidate for me, right? Jacob Virana. I thought he was going to do really well in Detroit.
A huge blow. Like,
yeah.
So Bertuzzi's not going to be able to play in Canadian games. Virana now, like, I think there were some people that had Virana hopefully putting up almost close to like a point per game pace for the season. Like that's a huge hit. So for 4 months, so that puts him back January.
Yeah. We're in October here right now. Right. So yeah, he's not coming back till, they said at least 4 months or up to. Yeah. So
he's not going to come back until, they'll be well out of it by the time he comes back. So he'll be able to come back
post Olympic break,
pad some stats, and
he'll come back after the Olympic break, right? Because I think that kicks off February 4th, and they're basically done for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, so you won't see him until after that.
Yeah, but that's a guy keep an eye on him because he could be a real pickup for somebody going down the stretch in your fantasy hockey playoffs.
Yeah, you have someone that goes down in the Olympics, and you need someone that to fill in a spot. Yep. He'll be one to pick up because, yeah, he's going to come in completely healthy and well rested. So absolutely.
Yeah, you might even want to stash him. He's a guy you could take with your the last pick of your draft and just
put stash him on IR.
Yeah, if your league has an IR spot or two, right?
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
Definitely.
The Montreal Canadiens are going to be at full capacity for the entire 2021-2022 season.
Yay.
Good to see there. Yep. October 1st, the Vancouver Canucks re-signed center Elias Pettersson and defenseman Quinn Hughes. Pettersson received a $22.05 million contract with a $7.35 million AAV. Hughes, meanwhile, received a $47.1 million contract with a $7.85 million AAV. So from a fantasy perspective, just great to see that those guys are both signed. If you're going to draft them, rest easy knowing they're not going to miss time, or if they do, it's going to be very little. So
you can draft with confidence now, and most likely, in the case of Pettersson, it might even improve his ADP now too. So,
yeah, I think we'll see that get bumped up for sure.
Yep.
Not so fortunate, though, is Brock Besser, who's expected to miss about a week here with an undisclosed injury. I mean, if he misses anything, it's going to be a game, maybe two, right? So
yeah, at the most. So that's
no real concern there.
No.
October 2nd or yesterday, Charlie McAvoy was on power play one with Marchand, Pasternak, Bergeron, and Taylor Hall. He played 20:46, saw 4:26 on the power play. He had one power play assist, two penalty minutes, four shots on goal, and two hits. Charlie McAvoy, we talked about him, months ago, Bruce, kind of in the playoffs. We were getting started. Now we're seeing this again in the preseason. He's got to be the defenseman of choice there in Boston.
It sounds that way. Like originally last year, they wanted to go with Greslick, but he couldn't stay healthy. So I think McAvoy is improved enough now on his. He's good defensively now, and I think he's just starting to figure out. Well, not starting to. He's figuring out the offensive side of it now. So, and you're going to give him the time to put up the points. So,
yep. Good to see there. Keep an eye on him. Jesse Puljujärvi scored two goals and played 3:52 on the power play as the Oilers beat the Jets 4-3. He's a guy that's being criminally ignored in drafts.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, so I'm just going to pull up his ADP here because I don't recall it off the top of my head. 166.9. So again, in the 14th round, roughly, and he's only 5% drafted.
So he'll be on the wire for most people.
Yep. He's playing going just ahead of...
wing, and he's available on the waiver wire. That's almost criminal.
That's what I... Yeah, he's... It's
excuse me.
Interesting. That's, is what it is. Excuse me.
That's going to be criminal because the way he's been playing so far in the preseason... He's just warming up for the regular season.
Oh, yeah. I think he could. He's going to put up 25 goals this year.
This could be the year that we've all been hoping for the past, 5 years?
Yeah.
So, made it take him a little while, but yeah, he could easily do that.
Again, we don't want to get too excited about preseason, but he's looked good.
No, and he's confidence, right? He's smiling. He's making plays out there. That's good.
To play on that line with Hyman and McDavid, like that's a hell of a line.
Yeah, well, and Hyman will do most of the rough work, right? So Jesse doesn't have to go too much into the corner and stuff like that. That's Hyman will do a lot of that for him, or front of the net type thing. So,
well, but Puljujärvi is totally capable of it, right? He's 6'5". He's got a big frame, and we saw him last year do it.
Yeah,
like he was actually great on puck retrievals.
Oh, well, maybe him and Hyman will have a competition to go into the corners and.
I hope they do, and McDavid can just grab the puck and work his magic. It'll be a lot of fun to watch this year, actually.
It sure would.
Dylan Larkin scored twice in his return to the Detroit Red Wings in a 5-1 win over the Columbus Blue Jackets. We're still not totally sure of Dylan Larkin's health. Like, is he fully healthy or not? I don't know. But he scored twice, so that's great to see. It's a good start, and hopefully all's well for him. But obviously now his line mates are a bit diminished, and he's a guy for me. If I can get him late, maybe I'll look at him, but I'm just not really that interested. What about you, Bruce?
It'd have to be for me to be Elliott round. A later round. Because, yeah, well, he'll only have Bertuzzi on his wing, and I don't know how much I guess they do have a couple of Canadians. They got three Canadian teams in their division, so he'll miss a few games. Bertuzzi will miss a few games, so that'll hurt.
Yeah.
That'll hurt Larkin.
yeah, I'm more interested in some of those guys I mentioned earlier, like, well, Puljujärvi, obviously, and I mean, Podkolzin, Jack Roslovic, even Mike Hoffman.
Yeah.
Joel Farabee is a really good one. So if I'm going with late picks like that, I'd rather look at some of those guys personally.
Yeah.
And then on October 3rd, or I guess today as we're recording, Pittsburgh Penguins winger Jake Guentzel tested positive for COVID-19. There hasn't really been any news as to how much time he's going to miss or how he's feeling or anything like that, but just it was reported today, so we obviously thought it worth mentioning. He's going fairly high in drafts still, I think just ahead of DeBrincat. Yeah, so Jake Guentzel's ADP is left wing, right wing eligible. His ADP is 30.3, and DeBrincat's going at 33.6. Both are left wing, right wing eligible.
Yeah, I don't think... I don't think it's going to affect his draft position a whole lot, so...
yeah, I was just gonna
it's all going to depend on how hard it hits him, right? So if he just gets a few symptoms and he's okay, but if it hits him hard, like it did a few of the players last year, like Zibanejad was one of those players that got hit pretty hard. So
yeah,
but pretty much if you take Guentzel out of the lineup, the Pittsburgh's going to be pretty much floating an AHL team for the first couple of weeks.
It's going to be interesting. Oh, hey, that reminds me, our good buddy Jeff Carter had a goal and an assist recently.
He's their first.
So John, I just wanted to mention that for you since you're such a big fan of Jeff Carter.
Well, and he's going to be first line center here until either Crosby or Malkin come. Well, Crosby will be the first one that comes back, but
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's quite what he expected to be when he signed last year or was traded to Pittsburgh last year. So
no, not at all. Okay, that wraps up some of our hockey news here for this week. Before we move on to the interview, I just wanted to mention that the Fantasy Hockey X podcast, we're proud to announce that we've partnered with NHLShop.ca. So for all your officially licensed NHL merchandise, please follow the links in our show notes or on our website. NHLShop.ca is offering 25% off site-wide for a limited time only, so check it out today. Terms and conditions apply. Full disclosure, Fantasy Hockey Hacks may receive a small commission for your purchase, which helps us to continue providing original content. With that, guys, we're going to send you over to our special guest, Michael Amato, with GoaliePost.com of Dauber Sports Network. Enjoy the episode, guys. He's done some really great stuff. He's actually contributed content for Yahoo Hockey, The Score, and The Hockey News, among other things. Enjoy. Okay, guys, joining us here tonight is Michael Amato, the writer, manager, and editor for Goalie Post. It's a site where you can subscribe to daily starting goalie updates and get fantasy hockey advice. Michael has contributed content for Yahoo Hockey, The Score, and The Hockey News, among other things. Michael, have I missed anything else there?
No, that's you got all of it. That's a great plug. Thanks.
Okay, yeah, no worries, of course. So GoaliePost.com. We're really happy to have you on. Thank you for joining us tonight and spending some time with us. We are doing our 2021 Atlantic Division Fantasy Hockey Preview. We've done our Central, we've done our Metropolitan, and we've done our Pacific Division previews already. So we're happy to have you on and run through the division here. And specifically, I guess, focus on goaltending.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. So where can our listeners find you on social media?
So at @Amato_Mike for my personal handle and at GoaliePost for all the goaltending stuff.
Okay, good stuff. Maybe tell our listeners a bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you wound up with Goalie Post.
So I'm just outside Toronto, and I've been probably doing hockey writing probably almost a decade now, I would say. I started out doing an internship at the Hockey News back in 2011, and then from there I got involved with Dauber Hockey, just contributing different fantasy articles and whatnot, and then from there, I did some weekly columns during the season for Puck Daddy. And then eventually I landed at The Score, where I worked full time for about 5 years. I covered a little bit of hockey there, but I got more into football. And then in 2017, I kind of left that industry full time and got into more of a 9-to-5. And that's when I reached back out to Dauber, who I just wanted to sort of freelance and stay involved in sort of fantasy hockey a little bit. And he had this opportunity with Goalie Post, and it was a good fit with my schedule and just, like, you know, what I wanted to do is continue to at least contribute something in the fantasy hockey world. So it's been a good fit. And yeah, I've been doing that for the last 3 years.
That's very cool. If for anyone not familiar with Goalie Post, could you provide a bit of an overview of the site? What can listeners expect to see or find as far as content goes?
Sure. So there's definitely fantasy hockey advice, obviously mainly focused on goalies. But sort of the main, I guess, goal of the site is to provide starting goalie updates. So you can go there and subscribe to different teams if you want goalie updates for those teams. Maybe you own those goalies on your fantasy team or on the opposition that you're facing that week. So you can just stay informed of who's starting, who's not starting, when you might have to make a switch, pick up someone on waivers. And yeah, you just subscribe and you get an email alert as soon as the starting goalie is announced from the team or by the beat writer. And we also provide, we open up our Twitter account to people asking questions sort of in real time, typically on the weekends when people may be thinking about adding a goalie to try to catch up in the categories, stuff like that. So we'll offer advice there, who to start, who to sit, et cetera. So we provide a lot in that regard too.
Yeah, that's really cool. Actually, we had Ian on the show a few weeks ago, and he was explaining just that you can actually subscribe to email notifications for your goaltending starts. And I think that's great because Tyler, Bruce, I'm sure you're the same way. You're always checking Twitter or another competing site looking for starting goaltender information, right?
And all the time.
Yeah, and some head coaches, you know, Barry Trotz, hint, wink, wink, likes to wait until the absolute final minute to announce a starting goaltender, so that can be frustrating. But that's great. You guys provide that information.
Yeah, definitely. I think the Islanders and Detroit are the two most frustrating teams. Detroit doesn't even really announce anything; they just show you a picture of who's skating out in the warm up first, and you pretty much have to go from there. So, yeah, there's a lot of scouring Twitter half an hour before the game starts for warm ups for some teams.
Yeah, well, and this year, I mean, I don't know how much people are going to be concerned about Detroit. I could be wrong, but anyway, we'll get to that, right? So what sort of separates Goalie Post? Is there anything else that we should mention that kind of makes it unique from other fantasy hockey sites?
I would just sort of go back to the advice that we sort of try to give. We're pretty responsive. We try to make it personal. So if people have questions, we'll get back to them. If they're really concerned about a starter, sometimes we'll follow up individually if we know they're waiting on a guy being announced starting or not. So I think just the personal touch that we try to provide, which is hard because we do have a lot of people asking for stuff, especially late in the season and come fantasy playoff time. But we try to have that personal connection with our subscribers and people that follow us on Twitter.
Okay, cool. How many contributors or people work for Goalie Post? Is it just yourself? Do you have a couple of people on staff? How does that work?
So there's a few people. There's definitely a handful of us that work to update the goalies because we do that sort of manually in real time. When we see a beat writer or a team announce it during the day on Twitter, we try to get on as quickly as possible. For the last year or so, I've been just doing the majority of the writing, but we've had another couple of guys helping out with that as well, but not too frequently. For me, it's just usually I post a couple of weekly columns, like one every Monday during the season. It's a ramblings column, just kind of news and notes for the past week about goaltending. And then usually Friday morning, I'll do a quick waiver wire post just to see what goalies might be available for the weekend if anyone needs like a spot start.
Okay, cool. Well, there you have it. Goaliepost.com. Listeners, please go ahead, check it out. Useful resource for the upcoming season. Let's just get into some hockey talk here, some fantasy hockey talk. What's your favorite fantasy format?
So I definitely like keeper leagues, and I like head-to-head as well. I just like the idea of the keeper gives you sort of, if you're not doing so well that year, a reason to keep paying attention. You know, you can trade players for draft picks, start rebuilding for next year. I just find that keeps everyone a little bit more invested, whereas sometimes you get, you know, people checking out early if they know they're not going to win, and then it kind of makes things a little unbalanced. So I like that aspect of the keeper league.
Yeah, for sure. We see that lots, especially in some of our leagues. Hey, Tyler, it's like three quarters of the way through the season, guys just stop playing.
Yeah, there's guys on the bench that, you know, should be playing, and it's frustrating for sure.
Yeah, that's not a lot of fun. Do you have any preference in terms of which platform? Is it Yahoo, ESPN, Fantrax? Is there one you prefer?
I'll just say Yahoo just because it's more familiar. I've always done it. And I like their app. I think other than I usually do the draft on my computer, but after that, I'm pretty much just on through the app all season on the go. It's good. You can update things quickly, right? If someone pops up on waivers or whatnot. So I think the app just makes it really convenient.
For sure. Are you in any competitive fantasy leagues yourself this year, personally?
Yep. I'm in one with some family members and buddies that we've been want to say it's maybe 7-8 years now. It's pretty competitive. There's 14 teams. It's like a really deep league. And you can keep four guys every year and you can keep them for a maximum of 4 years. So it's a lot of shuffling around and yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah. Those competitive leagues are fun, especially when they're deep leagues like that. Yeah. All right. So I wanted to get into some strategy talk with you. Like what is the ideal or perfect fantasy hockey draft look like in your mind? And it doesn't have to be round by round necessarily, but maybe just a general overview, you know, early rounds versus late rounds. Do you have a mindset going into every draft or do you just kind of stay fluid and go with it?
So I think for myself, I think for any, you know, fantasy hockey player, you really have to look at your categories and kind of tailor your strategy to that. And for our league, we have 8 skater categories and 4 goaltender categories. So usually my ideal strategy is to sort of wait on goaltending, and try to target skaters first, because I just think there's so much value, to drafting goalies later versus skaters. You know, I think if you look at last season, you know, there guys like Jack Campbell, Alex Nedeljkovic, Mike Smith, those guys probably weren't even drafted in a lot of leagues. And then they turned out to be like some of the best options. So I think there's just so much more value you can get, with a goalie late. Not that you should never take a goalie early. Like if Vasilevsky falls to you and it's like a perfect fit at the perfect time, you could definitely go for it. But I just think the odds of you finding an impact forward or defenseman in the, you know, 10th, 11th round are slim, but with goalies, it's actually, you know, a realistic possibility. So that's typically what I try to do.
Yeah. That's a fair point. I noticed you and Dauber and it might've been Apples and Genos kind of just discussing that over Twitter. Was that today or yesterday? You know, so yeah, the 0G draft strategy, it sounds like you sort of could buy into that given the right situation.
Yeah, I definitely subscribe to it, especially if you're, again, you have to look at your categories. If you kind of have a 50-50 split in skater to goalie categories, I think it's a little bit more challenging.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're definitely tilted heavily towards skater categories, then you want to stock up there and just make sure that, because you can, even there's so many goalies now too, like in tandems, right? Like there's maybe like just a handful of guys that are going to play like 55, 60 games and everyone else is kind of splitting starts, right? For the most part, even if it's like, you know, 55, 45 split kind of percentage wise, like you could still get a lot of great 1Bs late in drafts, right? On good teams that, you know, they might only play once or twice a week, but they're still going to give you, you know, probably great numbers. So I think you can still compete that way.
Yeah. I find it interesting. Like for me, there's maybe only a couple goalies that I would draft early and that's Vasilevsky, like you'd mentioned, and maybe Hellebuck.
And I think those are the two. Yeah.
Yeah. Beyond that, I'm leery on it. I'm actually the whole 0G draft strategy I find incredibly interesting. So something that we've talked about on the podcast at length and we'll probably implement in at least one or two leagues this year. I wanted to ask you, could you provide some our listeners with some of your early mock draft observations? Like what are you finding so far through this point in the season, preseason? Are there value picks, players that are, you know, their ADPs are inflated or guys that are being overlooked?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a couple. I think from a goaltending perspective, one guy I noticed that I was pretty shocked he was being taken so high is Kevin Lankinen. I noticed he was in the top 100. He was going ahead of, you know, guys like Bobrovsky and Jari, which I thought was a little surprising because, you know, I think he's probably not going to play as much as people think. Like Fleury's super durable, and I think Chicago really picked him up with the intention of playing him a ton. So unless something goes wrong with an injury or something like that, like I just think Lankinen is not going to play much. And I think he's not going to have that value. Now, I think Ian, you mentioned Ian Gooding, him and I were talking about it and he mentioned that, it might be just his current ranking on Yahoo is a bit too high and the auto drafts are kind of selecting him maybe a bit higher than he should be, but
right.
Yeah, that's one guy that I noticed for sure. And another guy I guess would be Jake Gensel that I thought was maybe slightly too high just because Crosby and Malkin are going to miss the start of the year. And this was before the news broke today that he tested positive for COVID. But
yeah,
even before that, like I saw him going ahead of, you know, Landeskog and Bergeron. And I thought, you know, that's just probably a bit too high for him. I think he's a great player, but I think he's probably a little dependent on Crosby and Malkin for some of his points. So
yep.
that's just my take on it.
No, that's fair. I think he's like he can still drive play, I think, but like you said, he is attached to Crosby's hip and the talent pool in Pittsburgh to start the season is pretty thin. And two, I noticed he's going right around, even potentially ahead of someone like DeBrincat. And
yeah,
you know, you look at where DeBrincat's playing and the power play he's going to be exposed to early in the season. And I think that's hard to ignore that value at the same price point.
Yeah, for sure. I think if you're looking at it, you know, in that regard, it doesn't make sense to probably take him ahead of those other guys. But who knows, you know, maybe Crosby's back after a week or two and he starts clicking right away. But yeah, it's, I think going into it, if you know he's going to be without some of those guys early on, you have a comparable player, I'd probably go with the comparable guy, but it's also personal preference, I think.
Well, and two, hopefully he's not affected too severely by COVID, right? I mean, some guys really struggled with it last year. Mika Zibanejad is a great example of how COVID can mess with your season.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm not quite sure, you know, I'm not an expert on the protocol situation, but I know Pittsburgh plays opening night, which is, I think, 8 or 9 days from tonight. So I would imagine he probably would miss that game. Unless I'm missing something there. So maybe that's the only one he'll miss, but who knows?
Hmm. Okay, something to keep in mind. Is there one piece of advice you would give to listeners for the upcoming fantasy draft or their upcoming season? Like, what would it be?
So the main thing overall, I think, is, and I mentioned it earlier, is just really understand and nail down your categories. I see a lot of people in their league, a lot of times drafting players sort of on name recognition or because they think, you know, they're going to put up 60, 65 points, but maybe there's a better fit in their league if your league has things like hits and shots and penalty minutes, faceoffs, blocks, you know, et cetera. Like it's really important to understand, you know, it doesn't always have to be points and you can get value in other areas. And I think when you really start targeting, you know, drafting players that are going to help you in your specific categories and not just looking at, you know, overall talent, I think you're going to be a lot better off. And maybe one more thing I would mention is, don't be afraid to take risks, especially in the later rounds. Another common mistake I see is, you know, someone will take a guy that's maybe projected, you know, for 38 points instead of a guy that's projected for 35 in the 11th round, playing it very safe instead of maybe that guy that's projected for a few lower points, you know, has a chance to break into the top six, has a chance to get onto the first power play at some point during the season. And, or maybe it's a rookie that, you know, is going to stick and become a keeper for you. Or maybe it's a goalie that can steal starts, right? So I think those last picks in the last few rounds, a lot of times are, you know, are almost throwaway. You can almost grab somebody off waivers after the draft that's comparable if they don't work out for you. So people shouldn't be scared of making a mistake there. Just, you know, it's probably more a reward for your risk at that point in the draft.
Yeah, as Tyler always says, you got to risk it to get the biscuit.
That's right.
I do say that.
I use it all the time now. That's one of my favorite sayings. But so in a standard 16-round draft, where would you start taking some risk? Is it after round 11 or 12, or is it even later?
I think right about there. Like a few years ago, I can give you an example. Like I took Elias Pettersson, and at the point he was, hadn't played an NHL game yet. I wasn't really sure he was going to stick with the team that year. And he turned out he had an amazing season. He's been a keeper for me for the last 4 years. So, and I think I got him in maybe the third to last round. So yeah, if you're talking like 16 rounds, I think anything after the 11th round, it's good to take a risk there. Because I mean, you can even go back to your leagues last year and pull up the draft and just see how many guys that were drafted after round 10 were on rosters, you know, come the end of the year. It's probably very, very few. Right. There's probably a lot of guys on waivers that were picked up at that point. So yeah, I think it's just good value. You take a couple of risks at that point and yeah, you never know.
Okay. Good stuff. With that, let's move on to our rapid fire segment. We've got some 2021, 2022 predictions we want to go through with you. So first off, we're going to start with your pick for the Norris Trophy.
I'll go Cale Makar. Yeah, you might see a few Avalanche mentions here. My picks, I think they're going to be just so motivated from last year. I think Nathan MacKinnon's just like super hungry for a cup. So that's a team that, you know, I really like this year. Again, they've had a couple stumbles in the playoffs, but I think regular season, they're just so tough to beat. And Makar is so talented, and the talent they have on that team, I think he's going to get it done this year.
Okay. Your pick for the Vezina Trophy.
So I actually tweeted this out a few days ago and it got a few surprise reactions, a little bit off the board, but I said Igor Shesterkin from the Rangers. I really like his game. I think the Rangers are going to be a bounce back team. I think he ranked either in the top three last year in high danger save percentage, which I think is a really good stat for looking at goalies. So yeah, I know he doesn't have a huge sample size, but he's looked really good. And I think if he gets a full season under his belt, he could do some damage.
And if I recall correctly, the one or two guys ahead of Shesterkin in high danger save percentage, one of them I think was Jeremy Swayman. And
that's right.
But it's small sample sizes, right? Like Swayman only played 10 games.
Yeah. And I think Shesterkin was the only guy that played like 15 games. Like if he was on the top of the list out of everyone that played at least 15 games. But
that's what do you make of the start for the Rangers in preseason so far? They haven't looked very good. I know you don't want to put too much stock in preseason, but not good early.
Yeah, it's hard to put too much stock in. I think like I always evaluate maybe the first week or two of the year a little bit more. Once they've had some time to sort of gel with the full roster or the final roster, I should say. But yeah, it's hard. Or at least after you know like some of the cuts go down and you get some more of what you're going to see during the season, but. Yeah, there's a lot of teams out there that have had some struggles, and some guys have had a lot of success in the preseason. It's just it's hard to overreact to that stuff. But so
yeah. Okay, your pick for the Hart Trophy.
Okay, so I would love to say Nathan MacKinnon here, but I really can't go against Connor McDavid, which is probably a boring answer. Like I just look at what he did last year, and I'm looking at the Pacific Division this year, like. Only Edmonton and Vegas in that division made the playoffs last year. So I think he's just going to tear that division apart again for points. Like, I don't see how he's not going to top like 130, 140 points. And he's probably going to win the Hart easily.
Yeah. I think we've got him projected for, what was it guys? I think it was 139 points was our projection. Now Jack Michaels called us out on it. He said, I'd take it back a couple steps, but I think he's in line for a good season.
Definitely. I mean, he got over 100 last year in 56 games, right? So I don't think that's way out. I'd say around 140.
Yeah, that's kind of right where we had him. But I mean, Tyler, you've got your theory on 82 game seasons, right? And how things can differ from shortened seasons. So I don't know if you want to talk about that at all, but.
I don't think it affects Connor McDavid though. Anybody else it might be different for them, but McDavid's going to do McDavid things. Yeah. I like 140.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
Good. I like it. Okay. Well, let's move on to the Rocket Richard Trophy then. Who's your pick there?
I'll go with Austin Matthews again. I just think he's the best scorer in the league. Even last year with kind of a messed up wrist, he just still dominated. Playing with Mitch Marner, I think he's just going to score a ton.
Okay. No argument here. The Selke Trophy.
All right, maybe another off the board one here. I'm saying Anze Kopitar. I like the Kings to be a bit of a rebound team. And I think with Phil Deneau there now, it's going to help him a bit, just shelter Kopitar and not sort of give him as many responsibilities. And I think he'll be able to bounce back.
I've been screaming that from the mountaintops for the last 6 weeks, I think. So, yeah, no, I like the Kings and I like Cal Peterson for next season as a late round pick for goaltending. Yeah, I like that pick. That's actually the first one I've heard for the Selke, but it's not unrealistic, right? He's done it before. He's been close, right? So,
yeah.
Your pick for the Calder Trophy?
I'm going with Cole Caulfield. I think for the Calder, that's kind of an award that really you can turn heads with kind of goal scoring. I think he's going to score the most out of any rookie, and I think he'll probably win it.
Okay. The Jack Adams Trophy.
So kind of back on the Rangers bandwagon, I'm going to go with Gerard Gallant. I think that one usually goes to a team that kind of turns it around and maybe makes the playoffs, which I think the Rangers have a good shot of doing, so I'm going to go with him.
And I can't remember who was saying, I think it was Ian actually that mentioned it's generally you'll see a team that maybe the bar isn't set super high and it's kind of an up-and-coming team. Usually see the Jack Adams winner there, so wouldn't surprise me at all to see Gerard Gallant there. Who's your pick for the Pacific Division?
I'll go Vegas. Kind of as I mentioned earlier, I think it's them and the Oilers, and I think they're a little bit better than the Oilers. I think there's a chance for a couple teams in that division. I think LA to kind of fill that gap and maybe steal a playoff spot. But yeah, I think there's quite a few bad teams, and Vegas is just so much better than everyone else. I'll go with Vegas.
Okay, that's fair enough. Just maybe quickly, let's talk about Robin Lehner, if you don't mind. I obviously some interesting things going on this morning on Twitter. Like, do you think from a fantasy perspective, is that going to hinder him in any way? Are you concerned about drafting him given what went on Twitter this morning?
I hope not, but you know, I think in the NHL, you don't see a lot of players speak their mind like that. So now that he's done it, I wonder if there will be any fallout. But I don't think so, because he's kind of, maybe not to that extreme has he tweeted stuff, but he's definitely done, you know, kind of talked about a lot of different things on social media that you don't see a lot of players do, and it hasn't really impacted him before. So yeah, I'm not too concerned about it. Yeah, the only concern I have about Lehner is sort of more on ice, and the fact that I think everyone's, you know, in love with him now because Fleury's gone. But I do think he struggles to kind of hit that 50 game mark, that 55 game mark. So I think he's going to be definitely a good fantasy option, but I just think, you know, he's probably going to play less than people think he will. And I think maybe Laurent Brossoit will have some sneaky value off the waiver wire.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He showed well last year, playing behind Hellebuyck, right?
Yeah. And like I said, the division's bad. If he gets in 30 to 35 starts, like that's pretty good value, you know, as a third or fourth goalie.
Yep, for sure. All right. Who's your pick to win the Metropolitan Division?
I'm going with the Hurricanes here. I just love their forward depth, especially now with Kotkaniemi on board. I think they're, you know, I think if you look at teams that win division, teams that win in the playoffs, a lot of it just comes down to depth. And I know they've lost, you know, Dougie Hamilton, and their goaltending's gone through sort of a complete overhaul. But I just think their forward depth is really key.
What did you make of that situation with Alex Nedeljkovic? I just thought it was really odd they let him go, and there was some sort of lowball offer on the table, and obviously he didn't take it, and he was off to Detroit. So what were your thoughts about that?
It really surprised me. I didn't think it made any sense from Carolina's perspective, just from the fact that, like, look, he had a small sample size, and I could see if, you know, he wanted like a Jordan Binnington deal or a Martin Jones huge deal, you know, something like that. But I think two times three he signed in Detroit, like that's nothing. That's like a 1B or a backup goalie money for a young goalie that could be a franchise goalie. I figured it's worth the risk. And I heard just different things that maybe, you know, Carolina was a little bit concerned that, you know, he hadn't proved himself and they feel like they're a cup contender and, you know, maybe he would falter. But I mean, I don't look at their goaltending situation now as really, you know, any more stable, right? Like they have Frederik Andersen, who's aging and who's had trouble staying healthy the last couple of years in Toronto, and whose play has declined quite a bit, and Antti Raanta, who can barely hit 15 games, you know, a season. So I don't know how they're any more stable without Nedeljkovic. And they only got, I think there was a third round pick in Bernier, maybe for him, if I'm not mistaken, for Nedeljkovic. So I don't know how they couldn't get anyone else to offer up maybe like a better trade, but
yeah,
it's interesting. I didn't understand it, but good on Detroit. I think they got a good bargain there.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'd agree for that for sure. Your pick for the Central Division?
I go with Colorado for a lot of things I just mentioned. I think they're the most talented team in the league for sure.
Okay. The Atlantic?
Maybe a surprising one here. I'm going to say Florida. I think Florida is super deep all of a sudden. I like a lot of their offseason moves. I think they were pretty good last year as it was. And, you know, I thought they showed fairly well in the playoffs too against Tampa. I thought they didn't look outclassed. And I think they're, you know, their goaltending, it's okay. I think they've got Bobrovsky and Knight there, who's an interesting tandem. Maybe we'll talk about them a bit later. But yeah, I just think, I think Tampa's lost quite a bit. I think Boston's getting a bit older. And, you know, I think Toronto's lost a few players too. And I think Florida's trending in the best direction. So I think, yeah, maybe it's a bit of an off the board pick, but I think they're a pretty deep team.
Yeah, no, not off the board at all. We've heard lots of guys actually have had to come on the show and they've picked them to win the cup or be in the cup final. Or, I mean, they just seem to be a hot pick in fantasy and in hockey, sports betting in general. So, yeah, no, I like that one. Speaking of the President's Trophy, who is your pick to win the President's Trophy?
I'm going to go Colorado again. Yeah, I just think they have the most talent and, yeah, I think in that division, they'll be able to put up a lot of points.
All right. Your Stanley Cup final matchup.
I'm going to go Colorado and Carolina. I guess for a lot of the reasons I already mentioned, I think both of the teams have great depth, and I think that will help them in the playoffs.
Okay, and then who's your winner for that series?
I'm going to go Colorado. They finally get over the hump when it's true.
Is it just because of Nate McKinnon's diet, or is it just...
Yeah, they seem, seem pretty motivated with that diet, right? So, yeah, Nassim Kadri can avoid... he can avoid getting suspended. Maybe they have a shot. So I don't know. Oh, I think that actually, we joke, but I think that actually really hurt them against Vegas, because Vegas is not wasn't deep at center, and I think when Kadri went out, it really sort of evened things up, and I think Vegas was able to take advantage. So
I think if he could ever just play some disciplined hockey, he'd make a real difference in the playoffs. But I mean, he hurt the Leafs a couple years ago too, right? Same thing.
Oh yeah. Well, watching him in those two series, it was tough, because those, you know, I know both those series against Boston were it was razor thin margins in that series, and not having him made a huge difference. So,
yeah. All right. Do you have a favorite NHL team?
Yeah, I am a Leafs fan. Unfortunately, I guess, to some people.
That's gotta be hard.
I'm stuck, right? I was born in Toronto. My dad took me to games at the Gardens when I was a kid, so
that's
cool. I kind of don't have a choice. But yeah, it's another year at it here, and let's see if we can win a playoff series.
You know what? You're chatting with three Oilers fans. We can't say a word.
We got nothing. So
yeah, it's hard, but they always pull you back in, right? I'm already getting antsy again, so.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Us too. Of course. All right. Last question here in the rapid fire segment. Do you think Alex Ovechkin is going to break Wayne Gretzky's scoring record?
I'll say yes. I think he's been able to stay pretty healthy throughout his career, and I think that's going to make the difference. What I think is going to happen is he's probably going to have one or two more, I think, really big years, like maybe 40 or 50 goal years. And then he's only going to need to average maybe 20 goals for the last 3 years of his maybe career to get there. And so I think, a lot of people are saying, he's got to average whatever. I don't remember the number. I think it's 33 goals a season or something. I think it's more he's going to have one or two big years, and then he'll just be able to kind of coast if he can stay healthy. As long as he can sort of stand on the left faceoff circle and take one-timers on the power play, I think he can get, 20 goals all day long in an 82-game season, right? So
yeah,
I think we'll get there.
He doesn't depend on scoring on the rush necessarily, right? Although I saw a stat somewhere said he actually took a lot of shots in the rush last year. Hmm. Yeah. I'm just talking out of my ass right now, but I saw it somewhere. So
yeah, well, he shoots the puck a ton. So as long as he keeps up that volume, I think we'll get there.
I guess maybe the last question here then, are you a Jays fan? Did you watch the game today? Did you catch any of that?
I am. Yeah. It was typical Toronto sports fashion. Everything looks so good, and then things just turn on a dime there. So
it was almost comical.
Yeah, I think the Yankees and Rays, it was 0-0 right going into the ninth, and Boston was down 5-1 at one point today.
Yeah,
it looked like they had it, but the tough thing is you can go back to earlier in the summer, their bullpen was in shambles. They lost so many games that they should have won back then. You know it's going to catch up to them, unfortunately. But yeah. It's a fun team.
Oh, they're fun to watch for sure. It was so sad because I watched the end of that game, and you're sitting here going, okay, well, if Washington can just finish that one up against Boston, they're okay. But they change over to the game, Boston and Washington, and Boston hits home run. In the top of the ninth or whatever it was. And it was like, come on.
It's just typical the way it goes. If the Yankees and Boston won 6-0 today, it wouldn't be as painful, but you just you feel like you're right there, and it just gets taken away. Right?
So. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, we won't wallow too much in your grief here. we'll move on. Let's get to the Atlantic Division preview, starting with the Boston Bruins. So Michael, give us your fantasy outlook for the Bruins this season. How do you see them doing?
So Boston's always a team that every year I think age is finally going to catch up to them, but it just never seems like it happens. I still really like Bergeron and Marchand, even though they keep getting older. I think Bergeron's, you know, late 30s now. He still produces. He's still great in, you know, any league that has faceoffs. Like, he's awesome. And yeah, Marchand just pretty much does everything well. You know, Pasternak's obviously a great option. You know, they got McAvoy now, I think, who kind of broke out last year in sort of for more of a fantasy hockey perspective. Like, he was always a great defenseman, but I think last year his overall game was really, really suited to, especially multi-cat fantasy leagues. He did really well there. So yeah, I think as you know, as long as those guys keep rolling, like, there's going to be a lot of great players there. And you know, Taylor Hall is there now for a full season. So we'll see how he's going to do. But yeah, like, one guy I think maybe to keep an eye on is Charlie Coyle, who's taking over the second line center role for David Krejci. So
yeah,
he was always a great guy for like shots and hits and stuff and faceoffs, but now he's going to maybe get that offensive production to go up if he's playing with Hall. And sometimes they'll even drop Pasternak down to try to balance things out a bit. So he'll get the benefit of that too. So I think he's a guy that you could probably get later that might have some upside from the Bruins forward group.
Okay, I like it. How do you see that goaltending situation playing out? Like, Omark hasn't been great. He gave up that that goal to Lafreniere. Was that last night where he tried to clear the puck and Lafreniere knocked it down to score? Like, again, preseason, you don't want to put too much stock in this stuff, but I think his save percentage through a couple preseason games is like 814.
Yeah, he hasn't looked good at all. And I think, you know, especially with him, these are his first games with a new team. So we can give him probably a bit of benefit of the doubt. But I think this year, you know, Swayman is going to have a ton of value. I think everyone is really excited about Allmark there and the contract. But if you sort of look back at the Bruins' recent history, like over the last 3 years, I just looked it up the other day, and they only started Rask in 56% of the games in the last three seasons. So no more than 56% in any of those years. So I think they're going to do the same thing with Allmark, which means you're going to get a lot of Jeremy Swayman, which is a great thing if you can get him later. You know, we talked about drafting goalies later. There's a guy that, you know, could have some real value. And I mean, Boston's such a great team. They have such great structure. I think last year they were second in shots allowed, shots against per game, I should say, in the league. So, you know, they could pretty much go with either guy and have success. And that's what they did with Rask and Halak, you know, quite a bit. Like, Halak was always a guy that you could grab in the later rounds or even off the waiver wire. And, you know, he'd be a great as your third goalie in fantasy. So I think Swayman's going to fill that same role. And yeah, who knows? Like, I guess there's some concern that Rask will come back in maybe January or February, but who knows? You know, it's a hip issue with a goalie. I think if you can take a guy like Swayman and have him, you know, be a benefit for you early on in the year, I think you should do it and just ask questions later and figure out your plan after that, because I think he's going to be a great option this year.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And his ADP is 140 right now, last I checked. So,
yeah,
like you said, good late round value. Yeah. Okay. Tyler, Bruce, anything else you want to add or questions about the Boston Bruins for the upcoming season?
Not for me, no.
Okay. Tyler?
No, I think Swayman with that ADP, I think it's really high. I think you're probably going to take him right before I want to select him in our draft on Thursday. So,
yeah, pretty much guaranteed. Or Bruce might take him right before I want to take him. So it'll just be a vicious cycle.
Yeah, I think of like all the
depends who's first in the draft order.
Yeah,
I think of all the 1Ds. He's probably one of the more attractive options for sure with the structured defensive team in front of him.
And then I'll just ask just kind of a fun poll question here. So I think they're sort of in similar ADP range there. Between Morgan Rielly and Charlie McAvoy, who are you more interested in this year?
I definitely take McAvoy. My concern with Rielly is kind of the Leafs power play sputtering like it did last year. And if he ultimately gets replaced by Rasmus Sandin. So that would be my concern with Rielly. But yeah, I like McAvoy as sort of a more all-around good fantasy option.
And you think he stays on power play one this year, McAvoy?
I think so, yeah. I would be surprised if he's moved.
Yeah, through preseason, they've been using him there on that power play one spot, and Greslick's had very little power play time. So, and McAvoy's looked good on that power play too.
yeah, he's really becoming like a great all around player. I think he was like, it's interesting sort of his career as he started out. Like I looked at him as more of a really strong defenseman when he started, which is almost the opposite for a young defenseman. It takes them longer to figure out that side of the game. But I think with him, it was almost the reverse. And now I think he's finding more of his offensive side. And I think that's obviously really beneficial for fantasy.
For sure. All right, let's, if there's nothing else, guys, we're going to move on to the Buffalo Sabres, which I'm sure we're all just ready to go for. So I guess, yeah, truthfully, for our listeners, I've only got three top targets listed for the Buffalo Sabres. Usually we have more, but this is a team that I personally am just not excited about. Michael, give us your fantasy outlook for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, especially if your league counts plus minus. It could be a long season if you're taking any Sabres players. But I mean, that said, you know, if you are in a keeper league, and as I mentioned earlier, if you want to take some risk late, you know, there's Dylan Cousins, obviously Rasmus Dahlin, you know, he might be able to put up points. Someone's got to score the goals there, right? Someone's got to play power play one. So they're going to have some guys with value. I mean, one guy last year that came on really strong at the end of the year that really sort of interests me is Casey Mittelstadt and sort of how he'll continue that. I think in his last 22 games, he had 17 points and 41 shots, and he's great on faceoffs. So, I mean, I'm sure he'll get more of an opportunity now with, you know, Eichel gone, Reinhardt gone. That's a guy that maybe can give you some value. So, yeah, that's another thing to keep an eye on with players is just maybe how they finished last year and how that sort of transitions into the next season. So he's a guy there that, you know, I might keep an eye on.
Yeah, I sort of echo those sentiments. I talked about him on Twitter a little bit a couple weeks ago, kind of stating some of those same things. Victor Olofsson, is he a guy that interests you at all? Like, he's got dual eligibility and his ADP is 171. He's only 3% drafted, but is he just kind of waiver wire fodder for you, or is he someone you'd maybe look at late in your draft?
Yeah, I think he could. I think either very late or off the waiver wire. I think he's pretty streaky. He can play well on the power play. I know he's had some power play success in the past. I think with him, I guess I would be most concerned about how he will do without Reinhardt and Eichel. Just, you know, guys like that kind of creating more opportunities for him now that maybe he's going to be more of a focal point of the opposition. But yeah, he's definitely a guy. Like I said, you know, someone's going to play power play minutes there. They're going to get some goals. They're going to get points. Yeah, he's a guy that might fit the bill there too.
Okay, and then just quickly, Rasmus Dahlin, because Bruce wouldn't forgive me if I didn't talk about him. sorry, Bruce.
Sorry.
What's your outlook for him this year? Does he bounce back, or is it just sort of more of the same, just given the team situation?
I think it's a little bit more of the same. I think it's so hard. Being a defenseman on a bad team, like I think his plus minus is just going to get crushed. But I mean, I think he can, maybe the offensive side of his game can improve. You know, players tend to take leaps sort of a few years into their career, and I think he's right at that spot now, or maybe he'll take a leap offensively. But yeah, he's a guy too. Like, if you're gonna, you know, obviously take somebody from Buffalo, he's obviously in the conversation for the two or three guys that you're gonna think about.
All right, and you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Jack Eichel. What's your take on the situation there? When do you think he plays again? Where is he going to play again? Is he someone you're drafting or just avoiding in drafts this year?
So tough, right? Like, I don't know how you draft him at this point, like knowing he needs some kind of a neck surgery. I don't know how he's going to get that and come back and help anyone. He hasn't, you know, we don't even know sort of when he's going to get that surgery. I'd be kind of shocked if he plays this year, just because, I mean, obviously he's not playing for Buffalo again. And with a $10 million cap hit, I think it's a lot harder to make a trade like that in season. I think it's probably a lot easier in the off season when you can kind of tinker with the cap a bit. Things get really tight as the season kind of progresses. So I think there's only a few teams that were going to be able to swing it in the off season anyway. And, you know, that's going to get tougher as the season goes on. So I don't know what the solution is there. It seems like it's bad for everyone. Like, it's bad for the Sabres. I mean, they should just get some talent and assets back for him. It's bad for Eichel. Obviously he wants to get the surgery. He wants to get healthy and get playing again. It's bad for the league, right? He's a, you know, arguably a top, maybe top 10 player in the league. So, you know, to not have him playing, in, you know, a good market, I think it's not ideal. So hopefully they get it done, figure something out soon.
Yeah, I'd love to see him play somewhere competitive and actually see more of his true potential. But unfortunately, he, for me anyway, he's just a guy I'm not drafting this year, completely avoiding him. Tyler Bruce, are you, any thoughts on him this year? You draft him or not?
No, I'm not drafting him.
No, I'm not going to either. Bruce. I think he, I think he's going to end up in Vegas at some point, just like everybody else does. And we'll all be upset here in Edmonton.
Oh, of course. No, I won't be that upset. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's realistic to expect Eichel and McDavid and Draisaitl on the same team.
Yeah.
That would be outrageous, but okay. Last point for me here on the Sabres, any comments on the goaltending?
Yeah, just stay away from it as much as you can. It's going to be a nightmare, I think. But, I mean, there is, you know, Lukanen is coming there. I hope he doesn't play this season because I think it would just be terrible for his development. But that's a guy that might be a keeper. But I guess the question is, you know, how fast do you think the Sabres are going to be good again? It might be quite a while. But, yeah, I think Buffalo's goal is to probably – you know, try and get the first pick and draft Shane Wright. So I think they have, you know, signing the goalies that they, you know, Anderson and Dell, I think, you know, that was their plan all along.
Yep. Well, we've seen in the past, right? Anyway, okay, good enough. Let's move on to the Detroit Red Wings then. So yeah, give us your thoughts for Detroit.
Yeah, the Red Wings are kind of quickly becoming super disappointing. Like I actually looked at them as maybe one of the more fun fantasy teams this year, but, you know, finding out, you know, Bertuzzi didn't get the vaccine, so he's probably going to miss a bunch of games in Canada. And he's got two Canadian teams in his division, so, you know, that's not ideal. Nope. Now Varana's out for 4 months. He was, I thought, going to be someone that could have had some potential this year playing with Dylan Larkin. And I think both of those things I just mentioned hurt Larkin's value.
For sure.
So yeah, I think they went from, like, you know, kind of a fun team to really just like back to the last few years that I don't know how many guys outside of Larkin are going to have value. You know, I think maybe a guy like, you know, Bobby Fabry, maybe he gets a bit of a bump just because of, you know, the injury to Verana. Maybe he gets a bit more power play time. He gets a bit of a better look with Larkin or something like that up front. But yeah, like, I don't know really the options there. I mean, they have some good young players coming, you know, Moritz Seider, Lucas Raymond, but those guys are probably more in the keeper talks for future years. I don't know how much impact they're going to have this year.
And the other thing too is Dylan Larkin, like, I guess he scored a couple goals last night, but we still don't know, is he actually fully healthy? Like, cause he had that neck thing last year, right? And
yeah, he's a bit of a question mark too. So yeah, it's taken a bit of a turn there, but I think they're actually trending, like overall, they were trending in the right direction. Like if you look at last season, I forget the exact number, but I know they had a lot more points in less games than they did in 2019-20. So I think the team was much, much improved last year. And yeah, I mean, the goaltending situation there, like last year was really interesting because you had like Grayson Bernier, who actually put up like very respectable, borderline good numbers on a really bad team. So I wonder if Nedeljkovic and Grace can duplicate that this year. It's going to be tough, but there's reason, I guess, for optimism if you're looking at a Detroit goalie.
That was my question. My next question is how do you see Ned's first season playing out? And obviously, as you alluded to, I was higher on this team prior to hearing about Verana and Bertuzzi and the rest of it. But do you think Nedeljkovic can still have some value throughout the season?
I think he can. I go back and forth on this. Like I almost think, like, you know, is he a guy you would even draft unless you're in a super deep league? Because, you know, he's going from a really good team in Carolina, a really structured team, to Detroit, who's not very good. So usually for a goalie, that means your win totals are going to drop. And I think for a young guy like him that's not as experienced as Grace or Bernier, it's probably going to hurt some of his numbers as well. So I don't know. But the other thing too, when I look at it, is they're going back to a division with, you know, Buffalo and Ottawa. Like, yes, there are some really good teams in the division, but there's also going to be a lot of opportunities, you know, for spot starts, like Detroit at Buffalo on a Sunday afternoon. Like maybe you're grabbing Greiser and Nedeljkovic if you need a goalie, a good goalie game to kind of win your weekly matchup. So yeah. I think they will have value. It's just, yeah, I go back and forth on this. Like if you want Ned as your third guy, like it's such a risk because, you know, I just mentioned, yeah, they got Ottawa and Buffalo, but there's also four like really juggernaut teams, I think, in that division too that they're going to get pounded by quite a bit. So it's going to be tough.
Okay, so let's move past the dead weight here in the division, and let's move on to one of those juggernaut teams you'd alluded to. First up, the Florida Panthers. Give us your fantasy outlook for the Panthers next season.
Yeah, I think that if you look at the end of this upcoming season or at the end of fantasy drafts, I wonder if Florida might be the team that has the most players selected on average throughout the fantasy maybe leagues, you know, around the world, let's say, because I think they just have so many guys with fantasy value. I could see like a, you know, a ton of forwards there getting taken. Obviously they've got, you know, Huberto and Barkov, but they've added so many guys, you know, like in the last year with, you know, Bennett and Duclair and, Reinhardt. Like they're just so talented now. So I just think like there's so much value. There's so many different combinations and, you know, it's even, I just saw, like, I think it was yesterday, they cut a bunch of guys. They made their first cuts, and there were some talented players on there that just didn't have a chance to crack that forward group. So they're definitely going to have a ton of value. I wonder if a guy like Owen Tippett this year finally cracks the roster full time and gets a good look in the top six or somewhere around that, playing with, you know, a lot more talented players. Maybe that's a guy that maybe not as many people are thinking about when they first look at Florida that you could get a bit of a steal on later in your drafts. But yeah, there's definitely no shortage of talent there.
No, they're deep. And actually, speaking of Tippett, I noticed he was in the top six for at least one or two preseason games so far. It looked like they didn't have Duclair in, or he was maybe bumped down a line. So that's interesting. I thought for sure it would be Duclair, Bennett, and Huberto playing on the second line. But yeah, maybe Owen Tippett's a guy you look at.
Yeah, he might be one of those late risk picks that you take, and maybe you hit a home run, you get lucky.
Okay. Let's talk about Aaron Ekblad. So he was sort of off to a career year last season before he got injured. Mackenzie Weegar steps in. He had a great year by his standards. Do you think Aaron Ekblad is going to sort of duplicate what he did last year? And, you know, on the flip side, how do you see Mackenzie Weegar's season playing out?
So I think Ekblad will definitely bounce back. I don't know if he's going to produce as well as he did last year. He was just having a phenomenal season before he got injured. But I do think Weegar will still have value because I think the interesting thing about Ekblad, sort of for a big sort of rugged defenseman, he doesn't throw a lot of hits. So if your league has hits, he kind of, you know, he kind of hurts you in that way. But whereas Weegar, you know, I think Weegar had 118 hits, 54 games last year. So if your league tracks hits, you're getting that offense from Weegar. As well as the hit production, I think, you know, he's still going to have a lot of value, even if he, you know, maybe he's not going to get as many opportunities with Ekblad back in the lineup.
And he's going considerably later too. He's going at 111 currently. So
yeah, it's good value for him.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I'll just ask you, since we're chatting about him, like we've got the projection set at 8 goals and 45 points. Do you like the over under for Mackenzie Weegar?
I almost want to say, yeah, right around 45. I guess I'll say over, maybe slightly over. I think he can hit between 45 and 50.
Okay. Good stuff. And I guess let's talk about the goaltending situation there too. So, you know, Joel Quenneville was on record saying that Bobrovsky's going to take the load of the starts for the Florida Panthers this year. And we just talked about it ourselves in the podcast, I think last week or the week before, guys. You know, is that going to stay true? Or as we joked, is Bobrovsky going to play five games, fall apart, and it's going to be Spencer Knight's to lose?
Well, I think the plan in Florida's ideal world, it would be Bobrovsky, you know, getting most of the starts. I mean, they're paying him, I think, $10 million a season. Yeah. Spencer Knight's 20. You know, I think you could call Florida a cup contender. I don't know if they want to throw all that pressure on Knight. It may end up happening by default. You know, like if Bob struggles again, I think they don't really have a backup plan now, right? Like Dreger's gone. I saw Montembeau got claimed on waivers the other day by Montreal. So it's really Bob and Knight, and that's it. And if Bob struggles, Knight's going to get, you know, quite a bit of playing time. But I do think some people are overvaluing Knight a little bit. I've just seen some different goalie rankings that have him like really high. I think he's going to have a lot of value. Obviously, it's a good team, and he's going to start out as the 1B. And yeah, that's a place where maybe he could steal the number one job. But I do think it's the team's intention to probably play, you know, Bobrovsky 60% of the games. And you know, obviously, they're going to hope that he sort of regains his form.
Okay, that's all fair stuff. Yeah, I'm avoiding them a little bit. Like, I'm not prepared to take Spencer Knight around his ADP of 85, and I've been burned by Bobrovsky in the past, so I just don't know if I want any part of him. Like, Tyler, what's your take on that?
I think Bobrovsky could bounce back here. I've taken him before. I've picked him up after you dropped him many times, and I would do it again. I just don't think Spencer Knight's quite ready, so...
Yeah, that's fair. And I think like, even if like Bobrovsky would have to be terrible, like to not have any value, right? Like even if his save percentage is like, you know, under 910, he's still going to get a lot of wins on that team. And I think you saw that last year, like they rotated him and Driedger quite a bit. And, you know, he still had a lot of value, right? He still had a great record and, you know, had a decent save percentage. So when you have a good team like that, you really have to be terrible to not have any fantasy value as a goalie.
All right. Let's move on to the Montreal Canadiens. What are your thoughts on them for next season?
They're one of the more interesting teams in this division to me, just because like I don't, for a team that just went to the Stanley Cup Finals, I kind of think they're not going to be that good this year, which concerns me a lot when I'm looking at the goaltending and some of the other players on the team. I just look at kind of, I think they went on more of an amazing Cinderella run than, hey, their team is this, you know, great squad that's now going to be sort of here to stay for the next 2 years or 3 years. I think they're probably going to struggle. And I think, you know, they've lost one of their better young players in Kotkaniemi. Weber's gone, obviously. Price is obviously, he's had off-season surgery. I mean, he looked great in the playoffs, obviously, but he struggled in the regular season a little bit. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think like, If they're not very good, like I almost wonder, like maybe are they a half a step ahead of Ottawa at this point? Like I think Ottawa is even, you know, came on so strong last year. Like I wonder if that season was another week longer last year, I think Ottawa probably would have maybe overtaken Montreal and made the playoffs. So I don't know how good the Canes are going to be. I do think there's interesting value with Jonathan Drouin as maybe a bounce back guy. I watched the game they played against Toronto earlier this week, and he was playing with Dvorak and Josh Anderson. I think that line had like 9 points combined or something. So he looked really good. There's a guy that, you know, might not be on a lot of people's radar. That if he stays on that line, like might have some value. So,
okay. Interesting. Yeah. I think he had a couple goals in that game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
What's Jeff Petrie's ceiling? You mentioned Shea Weber's going to be gone for the season. Do you see him? Like, is he a bona fide legitimate number one D man that you're interested in for next year?
I think so. He just does everything really well. I think if I'm ranking defensemen in fantasy, I probably have him like just inside the top 20. He's a guy that I think you should not hesitate to draft in Montreal, like no matter sort of how they do in the standings. He's the guy that's going to produce for you.
I would definitely agree with that. Yep. I've had him in the past. He's done well. And then Carey Price, do you see him sort of, is he going to be regular season Carey Price again this year, or closer to playoff Carey Price, or somewhere in the middle?
Well, I think the thing there that's going to be something to watch is how often do they play Price this year? Like, I think they're trying to trend, and you know, we sort of saw it with the, you know, how they treated the expansion draft. Obviously, they protected Allen because I think they know that if they're going to have any chance to win a cup, or even, you know, do well in the playoffs, they're going to have a rested Carey Price because, you know, I think Price's days of playing 55, 60 games are over. So I think actually if, and this is sort of the flip side of the coin, if Montreal is, you know, comes out of the gate strong and they do have a solid season, I think Jake Allen could have a lot of value because I think he's probably going to get 45% of the games around there. Because Price is obviously coming off of that offseason surgery, so we're not even sure if he's going to be ready for opening night. But I think if you looked how well Allen played last year and how they kind of prioritized keeping him around in the offseason, I think they want to start to get to that mode of a lot of other teams where they're really working in a tandem. So I think Price Price will still be a guy, you know, you'll want to have. I mean, he's still got the talent. But I just think, you know, you're not going to get the volume with him anymore that you once did. I think he's going to play a lot less.
Okay. Good stuff there. Guys, any other questions about the Habs? Tyler, Bruce?
Not really, no.
Okay.
No,
let's move on to the Ottawa Senators then. Sorry, Chad, go ahead.
Well, I've just got the delay here. I was just going to say, I think Michael's right with what he was saying about everything going perfect for Montreal last year. It felt like that. And as even just a hockey fan watching them go through the playoffs as an underdog, I think they're going to take a couple steps back. I think last year was weird and everything just worked out for them perfectly. And I don't think it's going to be like that this year.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. Fair point for sure. Okay. Sorry I cut you off there, but let's move on to the Ottawa Senators then. Michael, give us your thoughts on the Sens for next year.
The Sens, I'm hoping Brady Tkachuk signs soon because he's one of my favorite guys in fantasy. You know, he just like he's awesome in like multi-cat leagues. Peripheral stuff is so good. You know, he's like a guy that could have, you know, 30 goals, 300 hits, and 300 shots. I mean, you're not going to find any other player in the league that does that really. So, yeah. You know, I think he's got a ton of value, especially if your league tracks things like that, hits. So he's a guy that hopefully doesn't miss much time. But yeah, there's a few other guys I think that are interesting. Obviously they have a lot of young players. You know, there's talk of maybe Shane Pinto making the team, out of camp. I think obviously Tim Stützle, you know, as a guy that might be a great keeper. Maybe he finds his offensive touch a little bit more this season. And another guy that I actually picked up on the waiver wire last year that was huge for me down the stretch was Josh Norris. You know, his last 25 games last year, he had 20 points, 44 shots, and he was averaging 8 faceoff wins per game. So, you know, I think he's another guy that, you know, on a team that's not super deep at center, he's going to get a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, and he's going late right now. His ADP is 180.3, and he's only 26% drafted. So he's definitely there for the taking for anyone that's interested.
Yeah, he's going to be good. He's going to have great value at that slot for you for sure.
And Drake Batherson too. He's another guy.
Yeah.
Same thing. ADP is right around 180 as well. He's being drafted more heavily though. He's at 47% drafted.
Yeah, there's definitely some gems in that sort of forward group that you can probably get late that'll help you if you're in those types of leagues that track some of those different categories.
And Thomas Chabot, I think he's a guy that I like as a later pick for D-men. If you miss out on that run in rounds 8 through 12 or whatever it is, you can probably take a look at Thomas Chabot a bit later.
For sure. Just the minutes that guy plays is crazy. So the more you're on the ice, the more chance you're going to be able to put up stats and numbers. So yeah, you can't go wrong there.
And then let's quickly, any thoughts on the goaltending in Ottawa? It's kind of a mess right now with Matt Murray and the guys there.
Yeah, I think it's funny. Like, I think their best goalie might be Philip Gustafson, who I'm not sure is going to start on the roster. He might start in the AHL. You know, he was 5-1-2 last year down the stretch for them, 933 save percentage. When they kind of went on their run to end the year, I think Ottawa was 10-4 to close out the season last year. And he was in net for a bunch of those games. And the team looked really good. He looked really good. So I wonder if they start to play better and they're, you know, maybe improving and challenging for a playoff spot. I wonder if there's an injury and he doesn't kind of steal that job. Definitely not a guy you want to draft, but it's definitely someone to keep an eye on the waiver wire.
Okay. Good advice there. The Tampa Bay Lightning. What's your thoughts on the Bolts for their fantasy outlook for next year?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they kind of cope with, you know, losing pretty much a whole line, like Coleman, you know, Goudreau, Yanni Gord, they're all gone. And I wonder how, sort of who fills that void. And, you know, I think over the years, we've seen so many guys kind of that no one's ever heard of, whether it's, you know, Tyler Johnson or, you know, Yanni Gord, just kind of step in and really be able to produce. So I wonder if they have any more of those guys up their sleeves. Like maybe it's Matthew Joseph, Ross Colton, you know, Alex Barboulet. You know, they have these young guys that I think are going to step up and start playing now. So I wonder if, you know, some of those guys, you know, don't end up having a lot of value for them. Obviously, we know, you know, you're going to have your your Kucherovs, your Braden Points, your Victor Hedmans. But I think there's some other guys down the lineup that, you know, might just fit into that system really well.
Yeah, they've still got Alex Killorn there as well, and he's a pretty solid fantasy producer. I think Anthony Cirelli could have a good season. He'll have maybe an expanded role, given those other guys you mentioned are gone. And yeah, definitely Matthew Joseph, because we saw him. He didn't break out, but he definitely sort of emerged during the playoffs last year. As a depth player anyway, but I think he'll get an expanded role.
Yeah, for sure.
And Vasilevsky, we've got him, the line here, 38 wins and 5 shutouts. Do you like the over or under?
I will take the over. Even though I do think, I think there's a chance he plays a little less this year. Not a lot, but I do think they've got Brian Elliott now, who's a bit more of a capable backup, number one. And I think if you just look at all the games Vasilevsky's played in the last 2 years and even sort of a condensed season, I wonder if they're a little bit worried about that starting to catch up to him. Plus, he's probably, I mean, I'm assuming he's going to be playing for Russia at the Olympics this year too, which is going to be another bunch of games on you know, his shoulders. So I wonder if they, you know, I still think he's good for 60 plus games, but I wonder if they, you know, maybe give Elliott a few more starts, especially with, you know, Buffalo and Detroit in the division. You know, maybe he's just going to get a little bit of extra playing time and Vasilevsky's going to get an extra night or two off. I mean, I'm definitely not, you know, putting anybody above him in goalie ranking. He's not going to change. she should definitely be first off the board. But yeah, I think just something to note this year that he might get an extra night or two off.
Well, really for them, the concern is the playoffs, right? They want to win that third cup. And if they have to rest a bit more to do that, then by all means. And I think that's why they brought Brian Elliott in, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like it's funny, like McElhinney, I think a lot of people always used to grab him off waivers last year because they played Detroit so often on Sunday and he wasn't very good. Like he had an awful season and everyone thought he was going to get all these wins and just be an easy pickup and he didn't play very well. Like,
no,
it was kind of one of the only disappointing things on Tampa last year.
All right. And I'll just follow up on a point you made there too. Do you think the Olympic break affects players? Like, is that going to play a part in fantasy next year?
I think it will. I mentioned that a while ago on Twitter. A lot of people chimed in with some good debating. I think if you look at a lot of goalies, like whether it's Vasilevsky, you know, Carey Price or UC Saros, Jacob Markstrom, I'm just trying to think of maybe Hellebuck for the States. I think some of those goalies are going to be playing a ton. And when you add up all those games and if any of those teams go deep into the playoffs, so I wonder if teams, you know, it's interesting for the fantasy playoffs. I wonder if after the Olympic break, if some of those players or those goalies, if their teams have playoff spots locked up, I wonder if teams don't rest them a little bit more down the stretch, which isn't good news if you own one of them and you're going to your fantasy playoffs. But yeah, I think we could see that a little bit more next year, just because the schedule, I think, will be also a little bit more condensed too because of the Olympics. So right. Yeah, it might just be something. I mean, I don't know how much it should affect your draft strategy. I mean, if you're comparing two guys that you think are pretty close and you know one's going to play in the Olympics, maybe there's a little bit more risk there, but yeah, I guess just something to consider.
Okay, good stuff. Tyler, Bruce, any other thoughts or input on the Lightning?
Does Corey Perry become fantasy relevant now that he's playing with Tampa?
He might be. You know, I think he's going to be a waiver wire guy that you maybe just pick up and see how he can kind of get streaky for you. I think last year he actually, I think I actually picked him up for a week in Montreal. I think, I don't remember if it was Joel Armia that got hurt, but he ended up moving up the lineup and he had some value there for a week or two. So yeah, I mean, in Tampa, obviously there's a lot more talent there. Depending on what spot, you know, he gets in, he could do it. I think the challenge with him is, I think he's kind of shifted to more of like a low minutes guy now. Like I think he's more like a 12 minute a night player now. And I think in order to play up the lineup, he's going to have to play a lot more than that, which I don't know if he can do. So that's the only challenge with him. But yeah, he'd definitely be a guy, you know, you could catch off the waiver wire for a week or two.
Tyler, anything else to add to that? Okay. All right, let's move on to the Toronto Maple Leafs, which, Michael, I'm sure you're stoked to talk about. So give us your thoughts on the Leafs for next year.
Well, the good thing for fantasy hockey is you're really only concerned about the regular season. So for the Leafs there, that's never a problem. despite all their playoff struggles, they've been one of the better regular season teams for the last 4 or 5 years. And you know, that's probably not going to change this year. I do think it will be a bit tougher for them slightly in their division, because I think they're going back into a division now where I think Florida has changed. It's not the Florida that the Leafs left when they went to the Canadian division last year. Florida's going to be a lot better. But yeah, obviously, like, you know, Matthews is going to be a Rocket Richard contender. You know, Marner's got a chance to get 90 points. You know, Nylander, he could hit 30 goals. Tavares might be a point of game guy. There's going to be lots of talent there to choose from. I do think, you know, one of the things to watch, you know, right now it looks like it might be Michael Bunting, but whoever kind of gets that Zach Hyman spot, with Matthews and Marner is going to have a ton of value. And it, you know, it's hard to say now who it's going to be. Like, Bunting's looked really good in the preseason. But Matthews hasn't played yet because of his coming back from his wrist surgery. So it's tough, you know, maybe it's ends up being Nick Ritchie later in the year, or, you know, Andre Kasha, but whoever kind of gets that spot and sticks is just going to have, you know, a great opportunity. But it's tough to say, you know, like, I remember last year, like, I think Jimmy VC started out in the top six for Toronto, and, you know, he wasn't even on the team halfway through the year. So, yeah, you know, they've got a lot of forwards on the bubble, and I think whoever can kind of claim those spots and gets their way into the top six to play with one of those four, you know, top guys I mentioned earlier is going to have just a ton of value.
Yeah, Michael Bunting's looked good through preseason here. I think he had a couple goals again the other, like, one of those guys, he's putting up points early, which is great to see. And I've heard a few people mention his name now as like a deep sleeper pick, you know, for the season. So definitely something to keep an eye on. I want to get your thoughts on the goaltending situation there. Obviously, they've got Jack Campbell and Peter Mrazek now. Campbell's going right around 65. He's 100% drafted, and Mrazek is going at 83, 84, 100% drafted as well. Are you going to try and target the tandem? Are you taking one of those guys, and how confident are you in their success for next season?
I think that's a tandem that it's almost interchangeable. I think the plan is to probably play those guys almost a 50-50 split. Maybe Campbell gets a handful of extra games. But I think the Leafs know that, you know, given Campbell's sort of history in the league, he hasn't had a huge workload. And I think they know that, you know, he can't play more than 40 to 45 games, I would say. So I think that's why they went out and they spent the majority of their free agent dollars on Mrazek, because I think they needed a guy to pair with him. And I think Mrazek is going to play a ton too. Like, I think that in the entire league, I think maybe the Leafs and the Islanders are going to have the closest to a 50-50 split of all the teams with their goalies. So, like I said, I think if you miss out on Campbell and you get Mrazek, it's not going to be much different. You know, they're both guys that are capable. And I think if they keep their minutes down, I think you're going to get, you know, good numbers, good save percentage numbers, good goals against average numbers. You know, wins will be maybe a little bit less because they're splitting up the time. But yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with either guy, really.
Okay. Tyler, any other thoughts on the Maple Leafs?
Not really. Just maybe Michael Bunting is definitely an interesting player, but I think it's important to remember a couple of years ago, Ty Ratty was the answer in Edmonton when he broke preseason scoring records. So just be careful.
Yeah. Buyer's
beware. Yeah, I think, and I don't remember it offhand, but I think Bunting had an insane shooting percentage last year. He got like 10 goals in 21 games or something, and that's obviously, he's not going to be able to keep that up. But I mean, it'd be hard to play with Matthews and Marner and not, you know, get 50 points and 15 or 20 goals, right? Like, it'd be pretty tough. So whoever gets that spot, it's going to be huge.
I'll just mention here, Michael Bunting's shooting percentage last year was 26.3%.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
very sustainable.
Yeah, so keep that in mind. Bruce, any other thoughts or questions on the Maple Leafs?
No, not really. The one I'd like to see is Andre Kasha, because he was a pretty high pick with Anaheim when he broke in. He's got trouble staying healthy. If he can stay healthy, he can definitely work his way up the lineup.
Yeah, I almost wonder if he ends up with Tavares and Nylander if he stays healthy, and that would be good value too. Because yeah, he's produced as long as he just can't stay healthy and he doesn't have a lot of games under his belt because of that. But yeah, when he's in the lineup, he definitely produces and puts up points.
All right. We've already exceeded our time here with you, Michael, but I just want to ask you really quickly, the Atlantic Division projected standings, who makes the playoffs out of that series or that division? I know you mentioned you had, I think it was Florida winning the division, but who else makes the playoffs from that division?
I think Tampa, Boston, and Toronto will. I actually think Toronto will maybe get a wild card spot, and I think Tampa and Boston will get the other two spots, which I think might be good for the Leafs to kind of get pushed a bit in the regular season, have the games be a little bit more meaningful. I think that's something that's hurt them the last few years. They just kind of had a playoff spot wrapped up so early, and I think hopefully maybe keeping that intensity up will maybe help them win a round. Who knows?
Perfect. All right, Tyler, Bruce, if you guys have any other questions, now's your time. Nope. Okay. If not, well, hey, Michael, thank you so much for spending the extra time with us here. We really appreciate it. It was great hearing from you. And for all of our fans or listeners, please be sure to check out goaliepost.com for all your fantasy hockey goaltending information and fantasy advice. Michael, anything else you want to say to listeners?
No, just thanks for listening and thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, awesome. Thank good you. Stuff, Michael. Okay, well, so that the interview went well, I think, with Michael.
I think it went great.
Yeah. Again, Michael, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. It's great to have some experts come on, some guys who've been in the industry for a long time and can talk about some of the things that we're discussing at length. For our listeners, we hope you enjoyed it. If you want more content like that, let us know. We can be reached at fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com. Check us out on Twitter at FHHacks. On Instagram at Fantasy Hockey Hacks. And as always, we will be back with another episode every Monday. Bruce, thanks again. This was a lot of fun. It was a good episode, and we're going to have some more fun throughout the season. I think our next episode, actually, we're going to be getting into our week one fantasy hockey preview for the year. So I'm pretty excited about that.
That's awesome. Looking forward to it.
All right, my friend, take care. We'll talk to everybody soon.
Good night, everybody.
Take care.